Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze. And it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Many parents committed to respectful parenting dream of a school community for their child where the staff avoids using punitive disciplinary strategies. Unfortunately, those kinds of schools are few and far between. Instead, their kids come home with stories of witnessing other kids being punished or being punished themselves, or the use of threats and other coercive methods to control children into obedience. Today, I'm talking about alternatives to the kind of punitive measures that are often used in traditional school communities. Welcome back to Project Parenthood. I'm your host, Dr. Nanika Kaur, clinical psychologist and respectful parenting therapist. Each week, I'll help you repair and deepen your parent-child connection, increase self-compassion and cooperation from your kids, and cultivate joy, peace, and resilience in your relationship with them. In my work with families, I've heard about kids in after-school programs who are threatened for declining to participate in group play activities. After school! I've heard about school staff punishing an entire group of kids for the mistakes or struggles of one child. Even well-intentioned school staff can have a hard time helping children work through conflicts and ultimately put an end to them. Unfortunately, simply reminding a child to not do what they are clearly having difficulty not doing isn't enough. And punishing children in an attempt to get them to behave appropriately doesn't teach them the relational skills they're lacking. And it can also lead to children simply learning to avoid punishment by sneaking and lying. In addition, we know that children of color are punished more harshly than white students in schools where punishment is used. Without help, kids often resort to kid solutions that aren't in their own best interest. For example, a child I know, we'll call him Bobby, had some difficulties at recess. Bobby's friend Sally would often become very angry with him when he chose to play with kids other than Sally. These angry outbursts sometimes included slapping him, shouting at him, pushing him, and accusing him of not really being her friend. As if this weren't alarming enough, the adults on duty weren't helping these kids with this dilemma. The solution, when they saw the children in conflict, was to punish them both by making them sit out of recess on a bench where other children were not allowed to talk to them, and they were not allowed to talk to other children or each other. No one helped them have a conversation about it or help them repair this relationship rupture with each other. Neither child was given any alternatives for what to do when a friend was upset with them, or if they had big emotions about a friend wanting to play with someone else. Day after day, both children continuously lost precious recess time, which, given how little time is allotted for outdoor free play in American public schools, is wildly inappropriate. It turns out, even more than Sally's anger, Bobby hated losing recess time. So Bobby solved this problem by giving in to Sally and avoiding playing with any other children unless Sally was absent from school. Bobby also reported throughout the year about kids openly lying about their involvement in various kid conflicts for fear of losing recess time and being, quite literally, benched. But it doesn't have to be this way. Instead of using harsh strategies designed to make children suffer in some way as a consequence of causing harm, educators can use restorative justice practices to help kids develop tools for managing big feelings and frustrations, resolving conflicts, communicating their feelings and needs, and solving problems without resorting to aggression or violence.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
The days are officially getting longer, and while there may be a bit more daylight, do you still feel like there isn't enough time to do things like plan and shop for healthy meals? Hungry Root is your partner in healthy living. It's the easiest way to get fresh, high-quality groceries and simple, healthy recipes delivered to your door. Take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know your health goals, your tastes, the appliances you use, and more. Then, they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week, along with delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to good use. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's gotta taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole, trusted ingredients. Save hours planning, shopping, and cooking. Hungry Root delivers food you'll love. As a busy parent striving for healthier eating, Hungry Root has been a game changer for our family. Our box was filled with fresh, high-quality ingredients and simple recipes tailored to our tastes and preferences. One feature we particularly loved was the ability to customize our meals by swapping ingredients, making mealtime exciting and adaptable to our needs. Ordering was a breeze, and the convenience of having everything delivered to our door saved us valuable time. Hungry Root truly made our weekly meals easier and better, allowing us to enjoy nutritious and delicious dishes without the stress of planning and shopping. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Project Parenthood listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/parenthood to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/parenthood. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. So, what is restorative justice? The concept of healing relationships after harm is caused, rather than simply meting out punishment, is a practice long used by ancient cultures around the world. It's these indigenous practices that are the roots of modern-day principles of restorative justice. Restorative justice, as it exists today, was originally developed in the criminal justice system in the 1970s as a method for bringing about reconciliation between victims and offenders. It's focused on peaceful conflict resolution and repairing and making amends for whatever harm may have been caused. The child who caused harm learns to take accountability and responsibility for their actions. Restorative justice conversations help kids build trust, mutual respect, and understanding, but it also repairs relationships, promotes healing and reconciliation, and ultimately can strengthen a school community overall. In school settings, restorative justice often uses what are called community circles. There are proactive community circles that bring the class community together to emotionally check in, celebrate, reflect, begin and end the day as a group. Responsive community circles are used to address conflicts, wrongdoings, and problems. Community circles are often small group mediations, bringing together the child who caused harm, the child harm was done to, and a group of their peers and/or adults where all are encouraged by a facilitator to talk about their feelings and the impact of harm using non-judgmental statements and listen to others with respect. If you want to use these kinds of practices, you want to build a foundation for restorative justice. A first step in restorative mediation is for both victim and offender to express their feelings non-judgmentally. A good model for this is nonviolent communication. I recently did an episode on this kind of communication that uses I statements. I'll drop the link to that episode in the show notes. In short, the person talks about what feelings arose in them in response to what they saw or heard, and what need of theirs was or wasn't met based on the actions they witnessed. Finally, the speaker makes a request of the listener that would help them get their needs met. For school-aged children still learning and developing their emotional vocabulary and the ability to express those emotions to others, it's helpful to give them a visual aid, such as a list of feelings paired with photos of similarly aged kids, facial expressions of those emotions, and a list of needs paired with photos or illustrations the children might make to represent those needs. Establishing a practice of expressing feelings and needs during quote-unquote no-conflict times, when kids are given opportunities to talk about positive, negative, and neutral happenings in their everyday lives, gives a good foundation for using those same emotional expression skills during conflict resolution conversations. Outside of times of conflict, teachers can scaffold conversations, creative art, and writing exercises about different things to do when emotions seem big and overwhelming. Kids can share with each other their unique strategies for shifting feelings to a less intense and more hopeful mode when and if they want to do so. When kid conflict does arise, the teacher can bring the kids into a group and guide them to use I statements to take turns expressing what they're feeling and why, and what they might need to happen instead. This allows all of the kids in a conflict to collaborate on a solution that works for everyone. Each person feels heard and validated, and kids walk away from the conversation having practiced crucial social-emotional skills that they can use for their whole lives. Restorative justice is effortful and beneficial. When we return to the situation between Bobby and Sally, it's not hard to imagine that with a busy play area with lots of kids, it's much easier to bench kids than facilitate a reparative conversation. Easier for the adult, sure, but each day that Sally and Bobby got benched, they didn't learn anything about problem solving, repair, reconciliation, or forgiveness. They didn't learn to examine both of their roles in both the problem and in the solution. Bobby didn't have the opportunity to express his feelings to Sally about her behavior. Sally didn't have an opportunity to understand the impact of her actions on Bobby, or the opportunity to help set things right. Taking that extra bit of effort to help them talk it through ultimately helps not only those two children, but also the kids they'll be in conflict with in the future. And if they're able to work it out, then there are no kids to bench in the first place. One less thing on a recess supervisor's plate. At elementary school age, kids are still learning how to disagree, navigate conflict, assert their needs, and know how to be a good friend and make good friends. Using restorative justice practices and circles responsively in the face of conflicts helps the school community collaborate to solve problems. It helps the children responsible for causing harm an opportunity to express their feelings and be heard, make amends, and hopefully reconcile differences. When the harmed and harming kids come together in conversation, they learn conflict resolution skills. They practice emotional regulation and respect as they verbalize their experience or listen to another child's experience. And most importantly, by welcoming, validating, and nurturing children's social and emotional lives, you'll open the classroom door to their authentic selves and build a foundation for their overall well-being. That's all for today's episode of Project Parenthood. Thanks for listening, and I hope you found this helpful. Be sure to join me live on Instagram at BK Parents on Monday, December 18 at 12:45 p.m. when you can ask me anything. You can get your questions answered in real time. If you have a question for me about parent-child relationships, respectful parenting tips, and or parental mental health that you'd like me to cover in a future episode, shoot me an email at parenthood@quickanddirtytips.com. Leave a message at 646-926-3243 or leave a message on Instagram at BKParents. And you can learn about my private practice working with parents living in New York State at www.brooklynparenttherapy.com. Catch you next week. Project Parenthood is a Quick and Dirty Tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Dan Firebend. And our director of podcasts is Adam Cecil. Our podcast and advertising operations specialist is Morgan Christensen. Our digital operations specialist is Holly Hutchings. And our marketing and publicity associate is Davina Tomlin. See you next week.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room. Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.